Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer. Gretchen, how are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm bracing for some snow.
Oh, man. Another school day. We just had a couple days off for the boys. This must be paradise for them, thinking about another day off.
I certainly remember when I was a kid hoping for snow days.
I got a little queasy this morning when I saw the polar plunge was upon us. The thought of some of those legislators in Speedos running around in this weather just didn't make me feel very well.
That's not an image that I think any one of us wants to conjure up, especially this time of year.
I wanted to get your take on a few different items. First of all, the Senate Dems' effort to restore unemployment assistance. Tell us about that.
Well, as you may know, when the federal government made additional unemployment benefits available last year, every state in the nation passed laws to take advantage of that help for people that are struggling in their states. Michigan did as well, but what we also did, and my Republican colleagues pushed this, was to go from 26 weeks down to 20 weeks. So we took advantage of some federal dollars, but we limited drastically how much help that our people could get. Now, we said that was a bad idea at the time, and now with Congress acting last week to help people, they had the payroll tax holiday, there also was help for unemployment. Because we went backwards 6 weeks last year, now our people are uniquely getting hit. They're unable to draw down up to 18 additional weeks because of what Congress did last week. So we really, we're turning our back on federal aid that is available for people that are hurting the most. And not only is it a six-week problem, now we're talking about 20 weeks of help for people that can't get a job. And, it's just terrible that we would turn our back on federal aid that's available for Michiganders who are struggling the most.
Senator, what did you think about the judge's ruling to basically kick out the emergency financial manager that was working in the Highland Park School District?
The beauty of Ingham County is we're the court of claims, and our circuit court actually makes, decisions that impact everyone in the state because they have to be, those claims have to be filed here in Ingham County. It was very interesting. I think the governor and the Highland Park school board think they can just, have an open meeting now and not have to worry about anything more about the judge's ruling. I don't know that that's what the judge ruled, and I think there's a lot of flux in this right now, and that's what happens when you rush through a law that takes away local power, is there are going to be lots of challenges, and justifiably so.
When you talk about taking away local power from an entity, it just got me to thinking about entities like the city of Detroit, the Detroit School District, where there is a pattern, there is history that these folks cannot handle their own business. So why in the world, first of all, wouldn't they want the help? And second of all, why would they complain that they want their own destiny in their hands when they haven't been able to handle it for years and years?
Well, there's no question. And if you look at Highland Park, the type of deficits that they've run, there's no question that there's some bad actors going on there. And we have a duty to the kids of those districts to get in there and clean it up. The overarching scope of the EFM, I think, goes far beyond, anything that the state government should come in and usurp local authority and transparency. But there's no question the first thing that anyone should be talking about is not local control. It's about what is in the best interest of the kids. And I think that that's got to be the driving factor in decision-making that's going on.
For several days, we've been trying to get Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville on the program, and we've been told he's been busy because we wanted to ask him about a hearing and the bill that was at the Senate Government Operations Committee, which basically would prevent graduate assistants from unionizing. What's your take on this story?
Well, I tell you, I'm on that committee, and I will tell you that this is the most recent in a pattern of my colleagues coming in and trying to undo elections. The lesson seems to be right now, if you don't like the way an election is going, you just come in and change the rules, whether it's the emergency financial managers, it is redistricting that happened in Oakland County. These guys changed the rules after redistricting was done to favor the Republican county commissioners in Oakland County. Can you believe we're spending time on stuff like that in the legislature? Now there is a ruling that is forthcoming from the MERC, which is the Michigan Employment Relations Commission, that is coming forth with regard to graduate assistance. They suspect they're not going to like the ruling, so they're trying to change the rules before that ruling comes down and prevent students, student employees from, you know, unionizing. This is something that's gone on at our universities for years. They have constitutional autonomy, and it should scare the heck out of anybody that the legislature is going to come in and change the rules at the last minute and intervene in what's going on in our universities. They do this. It opens up the door for changing rules with regard to stem cell research, everything else. Any legislator that's got a personal vendetta or idea of what should happen in our universities, this opens the door to them coming in and intervening, and I think it's a terrible public policy for our universities.
Do you think universities can afford to pay graduate students more? I mean, everyone knows that you barely make ends meet, you struggle, you get the experience. Should these people have a say in policies for the university? Should they make more? Should it be treated like a full-time job?
Well, they're employees, and, you know, the testimony at our committee was that the primary reason for these students working is to get a wage so that they can help pay their way through school. They also get experience, but this is not a part of the curriculum. So they are employees. And once, you know, we start saying, okay, this sector is not employees for the purposes of collective bargaining, it will open up the door to saying these aren't. And all of a sudden you've got a situation where they're really undoing collective bargaining for everybody when they start to chip away at it like this. These are employees. The schools have all said they're employees. University of Michigan has said these are employees and should be treated as such, and that means having the right to an option to collectively bargain.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, how does that sound?
Scary. I know Tim Skubick did a story, and you know, I think it must have been a slow news day.
But you're not ruling it out.
Well, I think, I love public service, and so long as there's an opportunity for me to do something that I think is important and I can make a contribution, I'm not going to say no to anything, but no, there are no master plans to run for governor.
Should there be a casino in Lansing?
You know, I am watching very closely what's happening here. I said early on that I think it's going to be very difficult for us to promote a casino in Lansing just because of all the legal hurdles that they've got to climb, but also whether or not it's really a good idea for our community, and I'm concerned about it.
What's your relationship with Mayor Virge Bonero? Do you have a good working relationship? Do you think he's doing a good job?
Oh, yeah. I've always liked Virge. He's got energy and zeal, and I admire that about him. We don't agree on any issue, on every issue, but I don't know that there's anyone I agree with every issue.
All right. Before I let you go, what's at the top of your agenda for the next few days?
Well, you know, we are working on the state budget, and so we are going to continue talking about education. Education is economic development. And the governor took $1 billion out of our K-12 schools last year. He's got another cut in his budget this year. And I think that's the wrong way for Michigan to go. He likes to talk about metrics, but when you really employ them, we know that every dollar we can invest in education yields to the benefit of everyone in our community and our state. And so that's where we're going to continue our efforts.
Senator, in 2 years running this program, I think I've talked to maybe 100 people about education, and to a person, they've all said that pre-K is the most important part of the education process, yet it isn't at the forefront of not only funding, but priority. Why is that?
You know, because I think the youngest children in our society don't have lobbyists. I think that's frankly what it's all about, and it's unfortunate because there is not one person in the legislature who's run against education. They all say they support it, but yet they vote time and time again for cuts to education. And we've got to make pre-K a priority as well as higher education. You know, we need to say we want the best educated workforce in the country, and this, and we're going to put our money where our mouths are and have that workforce and fund our education system.
Well, you're going to be voting on that East Lansing school bond that's coming up.
I am. I'm going to vote yes. And I know it's become very contentious, but I think seeing what my kids face every day in the East Lansing schools and our class size is going up, I've always supported additional support for our schools, and so I'm going to vote yes on the bond issue.
Senator, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony.